verse 31. For those of you who don't know, Genesis is the first book. Hallelujah. Everybody there? Verse 31. So they took Joseph's tunic, killed a kid of the goats, and dipped the tunic in the blood. Then they sent the tunic of many colors, and they brought it to their father and said, "We have found this. Do you know whether it is your son's tunic or not?" And he recognized it and said, "It is my son's tunic. A wild beast has devoured him. Without doubt, Joseph is torn to pieces." Then Jacob tore his clothes, put sackcloth on his waist, and mourned for his son many days. Amen. Amen. Today I want to talk about illusions. All of us have experienced illusions in some form or fashion. An illusion is defined as a mistaken idea, a misconception, or a misleading visual image. For instance, the statisticians tell us that up to 40% of the people that go to church are not born-again Christians. They give the other church people an illusion that they are believers in the faith, and they're involved because they're involved in the church. They have a knowledge of the word. They're doing good to others. And of course, they participate in worship. We think they're Christians. These folks even create an illusion when they give their finances. They may appear to give when others are looking. Of course, that's in other churches. That's not here. Amen. Amen. This morning, I want you to please understand that Satan is the master illusionist. Before David Copperfield, and before David Blaine, there was Lucifer. Lucifer. Now, all illusionists have the ability to change what you see and what you perceive. They divert your attention away from what's really happening, getting you distracted so they can implement their smoke and mirrors trick. And when you look back, what you thought was real has changed. That's Satan's specialty. Making something that is not real appear to you and me as real. He makes us think something is there that's not really there. He makes an actual situation, and through falsehood and deception, he makes it appear to be something it's not. We first recognize Satan in the book of Genesis as the serpent who deceived Eve. By the time we get to Peter's writings, Satan has appeared as a roaring lion. And then at the end of the Bible, he has become a dragon. How did this happen? In Lamentations chapter 1, verse 9, the last half of that verse, it says, "O Lord, behold my affliction, for the enemy is exalted." The enemy's strength is growing. It's growing. In this word, in this verse, the word exalt or magnify in the King James says it means to make something bigger, make it appear greater in size, or seem to be more important than it really is. Another word that's used is exaggerate. I want to take a few minutes this morning and lay down a foundation and make us understand that Satan has no real power over the child of God. He only has the ability to intimidate us with false illusions. The main goal of the enemy is to bring deception into your situation. Satan deals in fear, which someone has said was the acronym for false evidence appearing real. False evidence appearing real. He uses deception to produce fear in each one of us. We have all experienced his tactics. In fact, these are the only weapons he can use, since he has no real power over a child of God. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 15, it says, having disarmed principalities and powers, he, Jesus, made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Amen. He defeated principalities and powers. Romans chapter 6, verse 14 says, for sin hath not dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. The word dominion in that verse means to exercise lordship over, to have control over. For sin shall not have control over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 13, it says, and do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Listen, folks, if we serve God Almighty, we have dominion and power and authority over sin, whether we use it or not. In Luke chapter 10, verse 19, it says, behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Satan has no power over us other than what we grant him. He has no authority over us other than what we surrender to him. He has no way to hurt us or destroy us. But his goal is to make us destroy ourselves through his illusions, his deceptions. The enemy has a goal to kill, steal, and destroy. But he must first convince you that the real is not real, and then convince you that what is false is real. In that way, Satan stirs up fear. He prompts you to act on a false assumption. If Satan can cause you to believe a lie, you will destroy yourself. You will give up your hopes, your dreams, your vision, your promise from God. And you will walk away grieving, never realizing that you are responding to a well-developed ruse. That's exactly what happened to Jacob in our beginning scripture passage today. Joseph's brothers had thrown him in a pit, then sold him into slavery, and essentially rid themselves of the problem of having a younger brother who was favored more by their father than any of them. One problem remained. What would they tell their father about Joseph's disappearance? Now, I want you to notice their tactics. They dipped their brother's distinctive coat, the coat of many colors, into the blood of an animal. And then they bring it to their dad. Now, they say some things to their dad. Genesis 37, last half of verse 32 says, they brought it to their father and said, we have found this. Do you know whether it's your son's tunic or not? Then notice Jacob's response in verse 33. And he recognized it and said, it's my son's tunic. A wild beast has devoured him. Without doubt, Joseph is torn to pieces. Did you recognize this illusion? Please understand that Jacob was believing his eyes. He was believing what he was seeing. It's wise for us to heed the advice of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. The enemies of Jacob, which in this case were his sons, they came and presented false evidence that appeared real. And then Jacob made his own assumptions. Even though they were false assumptions, to him, they were very real. The evidence was incorrect, but it looked genuine enough to Jacob that it made him respond with defeat. He even tore his clothes and began to mourn. But if someone who knew the truth would have spoken to Jacob, they could have told him, Jacob, it's not what it looks like. It's not what it looks like. It's a deception. Listen, folks, your promise is not dead.
Amen.
Your dream is not over. What God has promised you is not finished. Don't allow the enemy to push you to wrong conclusions. Stand on the promises that God has given you and stand and stand. When you've done all to stand, stand.
Amen.
It's not what it looks like. It's simply false evidence. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. It's only an illusion. It's Satan's desire to get us confused so that we become convinced about that which isn't real. Jesus called Peter out of the boat to walk on the water with him. And as long as Peter kept his eyes on Jesus, everything was fine. But something distracted Peter. Maybe it was the continued criticism from his well-meaning shipmates. Maybe it was the howl of the wind that began to break through his euphoria. Maybe it was the dousing of water from a rebel wave that caused his steady gaze to falter. But something happened to eliminate his focus on the Lord. Something happened. Suddenly, Peter began to watch the storm. He felt the wind and noticed the waves. And when his attention was turned away from Jesus, who is the master of the storm, and onto the storm itself, Peter became afraid and he began to sink. Peter, if you're going to walk on water, you can't watch the wind.
Amen.
You must watch Jesus. Peter, if you're going to move into a new realm of the Spirit, you can't listen to the critics. You must hear the voice of God. Peter, Jesus is the one who commands the wind and the waves. The wind, although it appears real, and the waves, although you can feel the spray pounding on your face, it's no more than an optical illusion when your eyes stay focused on Jesus. The prophet Elisha was in Dothan one day. King Assyria had tracked him down and surrounded the city and where he was staying. The intent of the king was to kill Elisha. Although Elisha was sleeping soundly, his poor servant was a basket case, and he woke the prophet up. In 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 15 through 17, it says this, "And when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, 'Alas, my master, what shall we do?' So he answered, 'Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them.' And Elisha prayed and said, 'Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see.' Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What was Elisha saying? He was saying to his servant, he said, son, what you're seeing is an optical illusion. The enemy has distracted you with some sleight of hand. You're seeing false evidence. Look a little bit closer and you'll see what's really happening. What's really happening. Amen. We're not going to die. We're going to live. Amen. We're not going down in defeat. We're walking out of this place. We're going to come out of the world in victory. Amen. Brothers and sisters, it's not what it looks like. Jump. Oh, David came to the valley of Elah one day to bring food to his brothers. Now, by the time David arrives on the scene, Goliath was already. He's been stepping out into the valley for 40 days, and he'd been breathing threats against the people of God. And for 40 days, 40 of those days, Saul and his mighty warriors were focused on this Philistine gargantuan, and that's where their gaze would rest. They could never get around his threats, his size, his booming voice as it echoed across the valley like thunder. They could never bring themselves to believe the promise of God that he would deliver them from the uncircumcised Philistines. The evidence appeared to indicate that this giant was going to conquer Israel, and there was nothing anyone could do. They could never get their gaze above the valley, above the problem. It filled their horizon, and that's where their focus, their hope, their faith, and their courage stopped. But along comes a 17-year-old boy who's too naive or too full of the Spirit of God, or too arrogant to bow to this problem, no matter how big Goliath is. Now here's the kicker. King Saul, his army, and the boy David were all looking at the same problem. Every one of them was looking at the same problem. Yet Saul decided that this giant was too large of an obstacle, too huge to eliminate. However, when you read the story, you will discover that David never called Goliath a giant. Saul's gaze stopped with Goliath. It stopped. But David said, I'm going to look a little higher. I'm going to look a little higher. Hey, folks, you can keep your eyes on the problem, but I'm going to proceed to the problem solver. Amen. Amen? Saul's gaze stopped on Goliath. Consequently, it kept him in his tent. But David said, this is just an optical illusion. I will not look at this uncircumcised Philistine in the valley. I will lift up my eyes to the hills from whence cometh my help. Amen? Amen. Your problem, Saul, is that you're not looking high enough. You're not looking high enough. It's not what it looks like. Get your eyes on Jesus and off of the false evidence. The job of the enemy, of which he is a master, is to convince us to only focus on our problems and all the current circumstances we are facing. For instance, the lack of money in the bank today. The lack of spiritual hunger on behalf of our families right now. The fact that our children are lost right now. The fact that our bodies are sick right now. The fact that we have no food in the pantry right now. The marriage that looks like it's over right now. The rejection and criticism of others right now. The world chaos right now. The situation that is hopeless right now. Now, I know you and I face some real issues. The evidence appears to be quite real, and the circumstances appear to be very tangible. It's no wonder that discouragement, depression, anxiety, and a lack of faith begin to set in. We just can't see any answer. We can't see any answer. We can't see a natural solution. We can't see a natural solution. So we automatically think, I'm just going to give up and give in. It's no use. Hope is lost, brothers and sisters, when we can't personally figure out the answer to the problem. But I came to tell somebody today, I've been praying for you and praying that God will open your eyes in the Spirit. You are not going under. Amen. You're going over. You're not the tail. You are the head. Amen. You're not going to lose. You're going to win. Amen. You're not going to die. You're going to live. Amen. What it looks like right now is not what it really is. Amen. Let me ask you, whose report will you believe? The devil's report says that you're sick and there's no way that you'll ever recover. But the Lord's report declares in Isaiah 53:5, but he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. The devil's report says that you're broke. God has forsaken you. And you're going to lose everything before it's done. But the report of the Lord says in Psalm 37:25, I have been young and now I'm old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. The devil's report says that you're bound by your addiction and you'll never be free. But the Lord's report says in Romans 12:2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen. Whatever the situation in your life is this morning, whatever fear you're facing, whatever false evidence has been placed in front of you, you need to remember that Jesus is faithful and the promises he's made to you through his word will never, never, never pass away. Our God is alive and our promise is alive. Don't be deceived, saints. The promise may appear to be dead, but in reality, God's going to fulfill his promise. Amen. 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 It's in process. Yes. If you believe God's truth of His word, you're going to see the fulfillment of that promise. Absolutely. Brothers and sisters, get a hold of this. It's not what it looks like. Amen. That problem, that situation, that setback, that complication is not what it seems. Amen. Let Jesus take control. Take your eyes, put your eyes, keep your eyes focused on Him. Amen. Amen? Saints, I want to pray together this morning and declare that the devil can no longer confuse us with his illusions, but that we'll see Jesus. We'll focus on Jesus. Acknowledge Jesus in all of His glory, power, and authority. That's the picture we need to see. We don't need to see what Satan has put in front of us. It's not real until God does His stuff with it, folks. Amen? It's not real until we see the truth of this thing behind all that illusion. It's not real till God says it's real. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I believe Jesus reigns. I believe Jesus reigns. Let's sing this together. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. I want you to stand. I want us to do it again. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. I want you to grab somebody's hand. Grab a neighbor's hand. We're going to pray. Hallelujah. Father, I think I can speak for every one of us that we're just tired of the illusions that Satan puts in front of us. We declare this today that we will see the truth in every situation. We won't let the evidence that our eyes see declare the outcome of our problems. We'll only look at the outcome after we've prayed and asked You to show us clearly what You have for us. I don't care if it's a Goliath. I don't care if we're out in the middle of a sea. If You say we can walk on water, that's what we can do. If we keep our eyes on Jesus. Lord, the devil's had 6,000 years, I believe, to come up with his tricks. Maybe we've had 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, on and on years. But we're no real match for him in his deception. But Lord, you've empowered us and equipped us to see the truth, to believe the truth, and to act on the truth. Lord, no matter how hard the devil comes to deceive us, I ask right now for each one of us that you will give us clear eyes, you will give us good vision, and we can see the real problem if there is one.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We are not going under, we are going over. Lord, declare that. Put it in your in these folks' heart and my heart, Lord, that we grab that truth immediately when something comes against us. Lord, let us be like David and never call a giant because, Lord, you're bigger than anything. You and us, we're a majority.
Yes.
And we can conquer these things by grabbing hold of faith in you.
Yes. Hallelujah.
And believing your word, believing your promises, yes, and acting on your word and not our wisdom.
Amen.
Lord, it's so easy to decide what we are going to do with this problem. And it may be an illusion from the pits of hell. It may not be true. So Lord, we want your vision. We want spiritual eyes. We ask you to open the veil. Let us see clearly, Lord, into that spirit world. Let us know the truth of every situation.
Yes. Yes, Lord.
And then give us the courage and the faith to act on it.
Yes.
Even if we deny what we see. Lord, this is good. You've equipped us today. Lord, as these folks go out, I ask that you go with them. Lord, they're liable to see an illusion outside that door.
Yes.
Or an hour later, or tomorrow. But Lord, reveal the truth to each one of us. And Lord, we give you praise today. We honor you. We thank you for the truth in your word. And Lord God, minister to us in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. You're dismissed, folks. Give God a hand. Amen.